When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You only wanted to upset Paul and Barry. Let him see in your jam.
Paul, he's in the height of it.
How do I get dragged into these conversations?
What's the dog?
Please be an honest here.
At least you could have worn a pair of sexy pajamas.
I knew he was coming.
They are shorts, Nuala.
I think we'll get Aidan to come over and give him
they
a clean.
They don't get shorts.
It's 8 o'clock on a cold February morning, and Fatima Mansions is on the move.
Anne? What, Eddie? <Jenny?
laughs> Do you want to go first or second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh?
Do I get to check? I see what way he's on me.
Are you the handiest here?
And Anne and her son Glenn and her 65 boxes are wrapped up and ready to go.
They start on Monday morning. There were 7 moved Monday, 7 Tuesday, 7 Wednesday. No, they're out the back window. 7 today. 4 tomorrow.
Oh my God. What is in your boxes?
All my stuff.
Your whole life.
My whole life is in their boxes.
Oh my God. How many years have you been living in Fatima again?
All my life.
All your life.
I'm not telling you how long. I'm not telling you my age. Oh, I told you I was actually born in the flat upstairs. Remember I told you?
Oh yeah, that's right. Mm.
Well, how old are you? Where are you?
29.
No,
she's
not.
Very young, isn't she?
Yeah. Do you want to see?
69. No, yeah.
They let me heating and all run out, so.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Because they were on the gas carts. So I said, I'm not buying. And then walking out and leaving us all there running.
So when did your gas run out?
I ran this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Had it timed well.
Oh, no, that means we be forced off the truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes. Don't have to wait till 5 o'clock.
No.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
How long have you been living here?
10 years.
10 years.
Nearly what?
Nearly 11.
And what's the best thing about going into the house?
Because you get a back garden. And what's it called? An attic.
An attic? Oh, yeah. Why, what can you put in the attic?
All your Christmas stuff and all that you're not using.
Because you don't have anywhere to put it here?
No.
So I look around all the boxes and saying, where did I get the room for all that stuff?
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Yes, yeah.
I was nearly crying yesterday. I kept running out. You know, no, I'm not doing anymore, not doing anymore. And my sister came over to help me.
Oh,
so,
did she, yeah?
Yeah, so she'll be over this morning as well to give me a hand, yeah.
Have you seen your back garden yet?
No.
No, he hasn't seen the house at all. Only from the outside,
no?
Haven't he? From the corner.
What do you think? It looks nice.
I saw it for you.
Yeah, and that was on, remember the day I went over, took pictures.
Oh, yeah,
we've seen that.
Yeah.
Other than that, he hasn't been in near. Yeah.
So are you going to be sad?
I don't know. Last night now I was, but I couldn't sleep. Kept getting up out of bed.
And coughing,
and coughing. Coughing and coughing. I ended up coughing that much, I ended up getting sick and everything. I was sitting there at 4 o'clock this morning watching some stupid game show on the telly. Couldn't go to sleep.
You were excited then.
Yeah. So. I think when they start taking me stuff now, it's really hit in then, you know. So. My sister now, she'll probably sell when she comes over now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Where is she living at
the moment? She lives in Finglas. But she loves over here, you know. And she should. Last night I was going, it'll be the last time I've walked down these stairs in the night, Anne, you know. Cause I think it was the fact that my ma lived here as well. We were all born
Mom
here, you know.
Me ring my chain.
I have to bring me back for you. So that's
Can I put this off on my bed?
Yeah, you can put it where you want. My suitcase, Rachel. Oh, yeah. I kept saying about my suitcase.
Well, when many blocks is it? 15?
15 blocks. It's originally 15 blocks.
Originally 15 blocks, and I don't know how to describe it really. Just
15 blocks, and some of the blocks had 26 flats in the block, some of them had 28.
Three Bankleys.
Three Bankleys.
Three stories.
No, he.
15 blocks.
There was originally 15 blocks.
Then they would have knocked N for the football pitch.
Yeah.
So look, if you're coming in off the Lewis, well, the canal, as we it's call it, we know it by the canal, you'd have was it five on one side, four, you'd have four
here,
six here. On this side.
Six in the middle.
In the middle. Mm-hmm. And then over the far side, you would have one block stand on its own.
Then you'd have
and then two.
Train down one, come down for the football pitch.
Yeah, I know.
And then in the heart of the flat complex, when it was built, there was, you know, where we're talking to you today, there was a number of shops.
Yeah.
So there were a fair few shops. So tell me what those shops were around. There was
there was a coal shop. There was a butcher's.
Grocery
shop. We had a chipper.
Yeah. That the chipper would have been at the end.
Down there, where the statue.
Where the statue originally was.
Was a chipper. Music stairs, as long as
and
I can
shop
remember.
On the other side.
So that's where everything. We had butchers. Oh, we had a chemist.
Chemist
over there. We had everything.
Just in terms of the new development, there's 220 social and public housing units. There's 395 private apartments. There's going to be retail shops. There's going to be a purpose-built neighbourhood facility, which you mentioned in terms of will house all the key community projects in terms of digital centres, education, training projects, employment opportunity spaces, as well as there's going to be some retail space, before you 500 square metres of retail community enterprise space. There'll be a purpose-built creche that will hold up to 75 children. And what the main feature will obviously be the whole physical layout of the plan, which will promote, you know, physical, to attempt the physical plan, promotes social integration, which will be a key feature.
So, what's the biggest thing about moving now for you? What do you have to get used to?
Upstairs. Because I never had an upstairs, so my nerves probably be gone. I'd hear the noise upstairs and I'd be saying, what's that? I'd probably be cleaning downstairs and forget I have an upstairs.
Yeah.
And getting used to the different sounds and all that, you know. So.
And I'm glad there's nobody over us.
Oh yeah, Do you think you'll be able to sleep then tonight?
I'd say I'll sleep tonight now, because I'll probably be exhausted. Yeah. Tomorrow night now, I don't know. That's what I said, it'll be the first time I'll have credit in my phone all the time. Oh, what's that? There's a noise, what's that? We're ringing people, there's somebody on me back in.
It is a big difference though.
Yes.
Not to get used to.
Yeah.
Now, a block of flats was knocked down. What block was that?
N.
N was knocked down in the mid-80s as part of a refurbishment programme here. That refurbishment programme created a great sense of optimism and hope. It quickly failed, in as much as that there was no social infrastructure put in to deal with the chronic social problems that prevailed at that particular time. The block of flats that was knocked down was highly problematic, wasn't it? It'd be fair to say there was a significant concentration of criminal activity. Because, relatively speaking, the drug situation didn't really get a grip on this community until the mid-1980s. Criminality went hand in hand with poverty from the early 1970s. But relatively speaking, 1995, what happened was a group of concerned individuals with the support of community groups in Rialto came together to make sense of the madness. And it was on that basis that they had four key objectives, which was to get jobs, employment opportunities, get treatment centres and stuff like that. And that happened. That was really positive. So what I'm saying is, that was the beginning of it. And then in 1997, there was a big Halloween event here. And a lot of people would say that was the turning point. And then people got involved. Like, Deirdre's been running summer projects and has been involved in the educational projects. So, I mean, they can only speak themselves. But that was the beginning of something different. But relatively speaking, it's only the last 3 years, I think, that people are actually beginning to see the physical changes. Mm. Because we lost a lot of people along the way in terms of they couldn't wait any longer.
Like, you didn't believe it was going to happen.
Didn't believe it was happening. But at least what happened was with the community service in terms of employment, education type initiatives, they did create a space where Anne and Deirdre are probably diehards and never leave this community. It did create a space where people who were probably undecided, almost the undecided voters, stayed.
Yeah.
And that was really important because now people have a vested interest in wanting to stay and make it work. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy in the garden in 5 years' time. But it does create a community that wants to stay and wants to be here and to live together. So relatively speaking, it's been 10 years, but in the last 3 years, things have been really moving with the demolition and the refurbishment, the demolition and the handover of new houses. I mean, the quality of the houses and the sense of hope is now, you know, it's palpable. Like,
the whole community is still staying together, so.
Yeah. But you don't have the balconies, though.
No. Probably miss me balcony hanging over it.
I suppose you can hang out the windows.
Oh. You know? Yeah.
Hanging over the balcony.
It'd be weird walking out your hall door, no balcony there.
Well, yeah.
I'll get used to it.
Do you think, yeah?
Yeah.
Very
good. Bye. Hello? They're across the road, they're doing me next. They're doing the plant across the road for me now. So. Yeah, Rachel from RTE. Right, so I'll see you in a few minutes. Well, see you in a few minutes, right? Bye, 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 bye. My sister, she's stuck in Finglas to. She said, I'm sitting here, we're going nowhere, the traffic.
So what was your first date that you were given?
I think that was the 2nd of November.
And what happened?
You weren't ready, so there was no way they could move us in. Then they gave us I think I was to move on the 16th of December. And then remember the ESB and that wasn't ready, so we were put back again till today. And I was up to yesterday, I kept saying, are they going to tell me I'm not going? Because I even said to Mary yesterday, I said, now tell me now if it's not going to be ready.
Do you think you won't believe it until they come up here and start
taking I know, now I know because, like, the other one, even on Monday, I said, well, I definitely know. They're going to move on.
Yeah.
So. But still, you know, the way they still think, I bet there's something wrong with mine.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to be getting disappointed, yeah. Like, so it's.
I tell you, I'd say I'll move in, you can walk around me.
So I suppose the average listener, when they hear about Fanamar and places like that, they always think of poverty and drugs and crime. But I can tell you, like, if you're young and you're 18 and 19, you tell you it's a great bit of crack. And that may sound hard for people to understand who, you know, can see only negatives.
Yeah, like, we only had a conversation last week about coming through here at 3 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't it wouldn't bother me walking through here at 3. Maybe that's because I know everybody here anyway, you know what I mean? But I always felt safe. Mm. I always felt if anyone was at the doors or anything, you could. I mean, you still leave, I still leave my door open. Because it's the people that are beside as well, you know? I just want, as I said, it's the people and it's the closeness in everybody in here. Like, everybody looks out for each other. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, we were talking we're talking about a particular time.
Yeah.
No, I think it's part of the 80s was grim. The 90s was grim, as much as while there was the economy was beginning to take off, as much as the Celtic Tiger and all the opportunities that presented. Like Fianna Fáil in the 90s was as bad as it was in the 80s, but over the last 10 years, to be fair to say, even now there's a big waiting list for people to come back and live in here. These offices are constantly pounding in terms of people, both in terms of the affordable housing scheme, or come back to live here. Now, I think that's a testament to the hard work that all of us have been involved in, and all the various partners, including the council and the guards and public representatives and such. I think it was a bleak time, but obviously the population has dwindled and dropped, and that's a reality. People who came to live here, they came here because in terms of opportunity, local authority housing was very limited in numbers. So it was usually a dumping ground, people would say, wouldn't it be? Yeah. So if you look at now the likes of the Anns and Deirdre and people like that, people would never, Deirdre, the flats are going to be falling around Deirdre and Anne and people like that. A die hearts, you'd never leave. And people find that hard to understand. But that's a reality. That's a reality of people are growing, because it's a brilliant location, brilliant people, safe.
Are you leaving your kettle?
No, I'm going. That's the old one. I have my new one packed, so I'm taking that. So when we get over, we'll be able to have a cup of tea while I'm waiting on the stuff to come over. That's why I didn't pack my tea bags or out, and I said, I'll have to leave them out.
You shouldn't have picked your toaster.
Why?
Because then you can make someone a toasty.
Yeah. This is actually his third flat to live in.
Really?
Yeah, because when I had Glenforth, I lived in J block. Then I moved from J over to R, and then I came back to H where I originally came from.
Why did you move to R?
Sorry?
Why did you move to R?
Why? Yeah. Because there was an awful lot of drug dealing now going on in these two blocks at the time, so I moved over to R, and then when I moved over to R, my mother moved out. She moved up to Crumlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And why did she move?
She was fed up in the flats and all that, but she should have never moved. She was too old moving. She was 70 when she moved. And
Hilma.
Your nanny.
Why was she lonely up in Crumlin?
Yeah, she was very lonely when she moved up then, yeah. She couldn't get used, because she never lived in a house either, and she couldn't get used to, so.
Really?
Mm.
Why, was it too big, or?
No, she found it fairly lonely, because she used to be able to come out on the balcony, and then she just called down the block, and when the kids were in the shop for her, she felt as if she was in the middle of nowhere, and she was only up the road.
Yeah.
You know? She was saying she doesn't see anybody. She kept saying, I have a 6-foot wall in front of me, I have a 6-foot wall behind me, I might as well be locked up. Feels as if I'm in prison.
I suppose I got a bit frightened when the drugs, because when I started having kids, and I was, because I would have been born over one part of the flats, but I raised my kids over another part. But it only really started to bother me then when the kids started growing up. You were getting nervous and frightened. That's where I'd come from. It was mad, because I wouldn't let them come over this side, and this is where I was born. But it was because there were so many things happening over here. But there was an awful lot of strangers coming in and out that you wouldn't know. Do you know what I mean? It would have been H&J was very bad at that time, and then just all stand out with the shops and all.
I lived in J block at that time. Mm-hmm.
When the drugs were there?
And it was very bad.
Like, what did you think about it then? I mean, did you notice it?
Yeah, sad not to. sitting on the stairs and having to get past them. Like, people you knew, you could say to them, move out of the way, and they'd move, but the ones you didn't, that's when you'd become frightened, you know. Asked them to move and you wouldn't move for you,
Heroin was a drug that was didn't just devastate Fianna Fáil, devastated other areas, other flat complexes in the city, parents, and we were, in terms of us growing up here, you either got sucked into the drugs culture or you didn't. Relatively speaking, like heroines and stuff we played, but you were plenty to go into voluntary youth clubs playing football, having a bit of crack, doing what teenagers did at that particular time. But obviously, you leave school at 15 or 16, you get a job. Some of us didn't. I don't know what happened to you. Shifts up to Dover. That was Anne that was up to Dover. No, but some people.
And you should know it was yours.
We grew up together, and we grew up in terms of hung around local clubs and stuff. We were all 15, 16. Like, and none of our parents, I mean, none of our parents knew what drugs. I mean, generally, you know, if you lived around there, you generally got a job in the construction site. That was that was a lot of reason. A sound factor for women. A lot of your family, my family worked in those families, Jack Toohey's, and what was the other one down in
Beltrams?
Patrick's Park.
That was
Glen Abbey. So in terms of the gender, it was that's the way the scheme of things
was. There'd be a lot of the women working in James's hospital as well.
See, there was what maybe alien to the outside world, what went on here was very normal.
Yeah.
Like it's where you live, it's what you value, it's basically your culture.
Yeah.
So, like, what may seem fairly alien or extreme to the outside world in terms of what goes on here would be perfectly normal. When I got to the stage when it became, you know, when there was the concentration of you know, heroin, that became a problem as much as what was the fabric of working, staying together, began to lose that in some ways. But generally speaking, as we said earlier on, if you're a younger person, we were all growing up, it was a bit of crack. I know that sounds wild, but it was exciting.
Yeah.
You'd see, there used to be community meetings in Rialto. I'm used to go around and stand at the back of the hall and
just going out.
It was getting thrown out, telling me. And it was great learning in that. Like for me, certainly, as growing up, I never thought I'd be doing community work, you know. But in terms of how that all happened and how the state, particularly, you know, the broadcast were communicated what was going on in the mid-80s in relation to concerned parents and misrepresenting that particular movement, and as much as saying it was infiltrated, which was really nonsense. I don't think my mother could be considered as a paramilitary, but certainly they were already mothers and fathers were trying their best to sort to help us. But when I was growing up, as I said, in Deirdre and others, we didn't have it was great, it was exciting, it was, you know, this was a bit of crack, but to some degree opportunities weren't really there. Yeah, I mean, I got your job in the building site, or you got your sister got a job in a factory. Yeah. Those opportunities began to dry up.
Yeah.
So you either emigrated, as I said, to Jersey, or you played football and did bits and pieces and made a few quid and stayed in the scratch and had a few quid and got by. And that's what happened. I never said in the scratch I had a No, but that's what happened. And I mean, services made a difference in the mid-80s coming in. I mean, the new project in Rialto has been going since 1981.
Yeah.
I got involved in when Ronald Reagan came here, which would have been probably 1986. I know when the whole, you know, everything was great in Ireland. He was coming down to see leprechauns down in Limerick, everywhere he went.
Should
have
just
come up to
fight,
mate. There was a few small leprechauns already.
You've seen loads of us.
So, like, I mean, the perception of Ireland in the 80s to in America and all that was obviously clouded by heroin and the problems that existed in this particular community. So, to be honest with you, you know, things have radically changed. Ireland has changed.
I mean, Attitudes have changed.
There's more opportunities there, but there's no getting away from the fact that there's, while the population here has dropped regrettably so, people have moved on and people have, you know, bought houses over here. Relatively speaking, the people, the ones who have stayed here, I believe that with the level of resources and efforts that are going in here, we can break the long-term cycle of unemployment and dependency on you know, welfare and drug use. I really believe we can do that.
And was there a caretaker here when you were growing up?
Yeah. They used to live here in one of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dowell. Mr.
Dowell,
yeah. We, like, if you cut your trunk paper on the ground around, I tell you, you're here. Ripped your ma and marched up. Like, he really kept a close eye on you. And,
There was a kind of stronger estate management approach, wasn't there? Like, you know, between him and them.
I think it was the personality as well, because he was really strict.
Yeah.
You know, really, and then he'd be dying to get out for his pints as well.
Everyone there feared.
He'd make a show of you, actually, if you put paper on the ground, like, he'd make a show of you in front of everybody. So then you're just afraid your life is yours. Or then he'd bring up your ma, or, you know.
And what would she do?
Just get clout around the ear. But, like, the women in them days took really proud of the...
Like, even washing the stairs
everything, you know what I mean?
Gasway, like, when you think about
do you
all
remember
that,
the
like,
Granny Roach?
It's changed.
Do you remember the granny wrote your man wrote it?
Yeah.
Like his mother, she used to always go out for a few drinks of a Saturday afternoon, wouldn't she? And then she'd come home from the pub and she'd make a big pot of coddle and a big pot of ribs.
Yeah.
So then all the men and women, men coming in that night from the pub, she'd be standing out at the shop. So all the men, you know, the next time blocking that, they'd stand she'd bring them out a bowl of ribs or a bowl of coddle. They wouldn't say it was gas. Every Saturday night she'd done that.
Sunday morning, a bowl of
cuddle. I know, she sent a bowl, she always sent a little small bowl of cuddle over to the men with the hangovers.
On a Sunday morning.
She always sent that over. She'd look in the block and she'd say, who was out late last night? Who
come in singing?
The Granny Rotary, as we know her. Yes. She's not dead at all.
She went to
our son is still actually here.
She was a real one, wasn't she?
She was a good age. You know? She was a lovely woman, she was.
Yeah. Because there was a good lot of them, wasn't there?
Yeah. Miss Maloney and Mrs. Duff.
I mean, these are all large families, like, they were living here, like, so.
But he looked out for one, didn't he?
Well, it was near where people were coming from. People were coming from a lot of people came here from tenements and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's, you know, in terms of their own front door and toilets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they never put heating in. Still, in mid 80s, I can't understand why central heating wasn't put into the flats. Yeah. At the 6.5 million, a lot of money. Because
that's what we asked for as well, was the central heating.
Yeah. Because there was a big problem here in dampness over the last couple of years. I mean, if people had said they wanted the flats to stay when the survey was in 1998, like the main factor was ill health, dampness, chronic illness. I was all connected to living conditions.
I lived over there, remember? The upstairs, like the wardrobe, was all green.
Yeah.
Mouldy stuff on it.
And tried to put wallpaper on your stairs, remember? Kept falling back down top of us.
It was particularly bad at the Gable ends, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was at the Gable. Yeah.
Remember, I was wallpaper for one day and it was grand. Went down next one was on the floor. Oh, God.
You'd hang your clothes, the wardrobe with all green stuff all over your clothes and everything. But that house was always very damp, wasn't it? Because I remember going over and seeing that refurbished. Remember, they'd done the refurbished flat up. They showed the residents what to do. Do you remember that under the arch? Yeah. And you could go over to the show flat.
Yeah.
And everyone was going to come back. Oh, why is there no heating?
Yeah.
Like, because everybody was expecting central heating.
Yeah.
But then, what did they say at the time? It was too...
It was too expensive, wasn't it?
It was too much. Again, they dig up the floorboards and everything. Yeah. It's mad. Yeah.
The people who came to live here in the... I'll say in the 90s, when there really wasn't a place where people wanted to come by choice. It really was your last choice on the housing list. Over the last couple of years, the work that we've been doing here, is, you know, we've come into access, you know, the people like that who wouldn't be a fatty man, right? You'd say, like. But basically, like, yous have come into contact with those people, and now it's like we're all on talking terms. Because a lot of people came to live here wouldn't have the same... They're not... born and reared here, there's a lot of history. Same
feelings.
But there is that sense of change, I believe.
Yeah, now you know what I mean. I think when we used to be saying about, you know, fighting my years ago, like, you couldn't get it through to them. Do you know what I mean? And we were saying, but now you can see the change, that you know that there is a community. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you are. That's our next. What? Glenn, you'll have to move the bike out of the way. Put it back up here. Glenn, you have to, because they're bringing the boxes past. Watch, Rachel.
No, you're grand. You're next.
Oh, we'll have to move that defrost fryer. Come on.
Where is it? Where did you start?
Now, whatever you want.
Everything gone.
Yeah, the sofa is not.
Yeah. Fine job.
And I just want to put this in here because my sister's taking some of this stuff. Well, you can keep that in our care. Told you, Ben. Help yourself to sleep. Oh, Ben, do us a favour.
No. How are you getting in?
You're doing me a favour.
Oh, it's shop for you, is it?
Yeah. No.
Here's an envelope,
Ben. Yeah. Don't get lost out there.
No. When you're lifting that box there, be careful.
Why don't you lift it in?
Because No.
No.
PlayStation.
Is it? I'll bring that home. You'll be up your age.
I have to ask one of them too.
What?
Not that heavy, Ben. No, you have two, but they almost weren't as heavy, is it?
What?
Full of books.
Hang on, you're messing with you. No, we're on our way now, Rachel.
Wow, how do you feel?
Sorry. Find me gloves. Don't keep looking at me. Oh, you're sentimental here in a minute. It's me life going.
New life.
That's it. New beginning.
You okay, honey?
Grant, that's me, your sister. Oh, Grant.
At last, are you all excited?
Oh, stop. Oh. Get my D-fat fryer there for me, but you took everything else.
And where's the robot?
They took it.
And did you take the wires?
The lock wires. For the curtains?
Yeah.
Oh, that's grand.
Yeah, you got them off. That's yours, yeah?
Yeah. Finished down here?
Yeah, finished.
See on the fire suit.
Yeah, we packed it. Do you know what? The lights were blinking on the stairs last night. I said to her, they're saying goodbye to me, the blocks. She's looking at me as much as to say.
Two bikes outside.
Yeah,
I
got
taken
down.
What?
Oh, is it?
What? Yeah, finished. Right. Yeah. Me tilts.
I just got to get the last little bag.
Tilts.
Just two more bags, plastic bags.
Have to get me toolbox.
What? Did you bring them up? The
only a few boxes. How we doing?
No, many, have I?
Only a few boxes.
No. That's me. What?
He's going to be crying.
No. I was nearly getting tear, yeah. No, that's it. She's no, that's it.
Is that yours?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Only
two bags.
I have the camera.
Did you?
There were chickens left.
He's not
around yet.
Oh my goodness.
Deirdre! Deirdre! All I want, they never ignored me. Postman comes, get me. Check off him, will you? I won't be able to go out.
Are you going to close the door?
Yep, go on. Close it.
You closed it. You're glad. You know what I mean?
Me tools. Can't go without me tools. Yeah, bye bye. Come on, quick. They try to see me crying.
So really, I mean, to be very honest, which is a very, the housing types, as I said, is a combination of traditional type housing, front and back gardens and stuff, which is, relatively speaking, significant in terms of the whole housing policy shift in the city. There's large two-bedroom apartments. There's no one-bedroom public apartments, public units in the site. So the physical place is going to really transform in terms of, you know, access. There's going to be pedestrianisation of parts of it, particularly where the shops. There's an open public plaza where we hope to have civic events, you know, that will promote, again, usage of the facility. So all in all, I mean, relatively speaking, the design is of really good standard. We had our own architectural and planning team that advised us throughout the whole negotiation and planning stages, and I think they did a great job, as much as what we set out a number of years ago in terms of our vision, which was essentially about creating excellence. I think we've managed that.
I'm even putting cigarettes out on my floor. No smoking in my house.
Smoking allowed?
Where's the smoking allowed? I smoke myself. I don't mind, I can wash them again. Have a mop and a bucket. Do forget me mop. Welcome to my cul-de-sac. Hey, welcome to my cul-de-sac.
Don't
pour.
Shampooing your carpet earlier, so it could be still a slight bit damp.
Yeah, sure. I have.
Actually, you can see they're only after mopping it.
I have what you call it. Have cloths to put up. It's sort of
oh, do you?
Up and down, yeah.
Grand. That's your guy.
Is it working?
It's working. It's grand.
That's grand. We'll hey, Dorothy, you going shop? Come here.
Model of excellence.
International model of excellence.
International model of excellence.
So that's the physical landscape.
Joe's going to be showing the Japanese around.
Yeah, yeah, we always said, funny enough now, years ago, when Finbar Flood was the chairman of the board, independent chairman, he came to meet us. We had this kind of group of local people came and visualised and imagined what the new fan would be. So there's always that joke about that we'd have Japanese visitors come over and see what this site looks like. But that's connected to that story, so they were getting off the loose.
What was that Julie story? Do you remember that when we
launched? That's the one. Julie story, which is
actually,
know,
someone wrote about the future of when the house and all.
Julie's story describes the vision about that story.
Like
the
Lewis
going to the new tier. They're going to see jocks are swinging out with the
brilliant
pub is built trampoline. So I think we've stayed firm to that particular story.
Yeah.
But it's about vision the future and dreaming.
I think 40 people up here last week from the north.
Oh yes,
in their homes again.
Yes, there's directors, regular visitors. Now we haven't got the Japanese ones yet, but there's been, we've had crowds from Moira's and Sligo. There's a regular Greek. How are you? And there's also, I mean, there's a crowd that come from England all the time, students, and they regularly come here from the colleges in urban regeneration, the first degree course in England, and they're regular here. But what just be great crack is the two tutors. They come over, and every year it's nearly for their benefit that they have so many questions, and every year there's a different slant. Oh, did you get that this year? No, we got that. Well, like last year we had to secure the social investment, we have to do this, we have to do this, and every year there's progression. But yeah, I mean, as I said, the facilities are second to none. The whole openness of it in terms of green space, and one of the squares actually is going to be called, on the plaza, it's going to be called Brown Square. And Brown Square is actually named after a chap here who was born and reared here. He lived in B block. Was it A block or B block? He lived in one of the flats.
G block.
And he was the first Irish UN soldier to die on duty in the Congo. And the residents here felt it would be a really nice gesture that the plaza would be named after Corporal Brown. So there's still a bit of renaming, there's still a bit of reorientating to be done. But I do think, you know, with the levels of shops, activities, services, you know, and there's great opportunities in terms of the retail. Like, there's 500 square metres of retail space that this community has part of the arrangement. Now, that we could do, you know, in terms of look at how that might be done, whether it's just, you know, training people to run their own business, whether that's a good use of resources, or whether we create a property company that might, you know, think more long-term strategic in the context of sustainability. Will it be the best place to live is the critical question in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
My view of it is it'd be the most successful...
Just try this way, Joe. Just watch this space.
Well, I do actually believe it would be the most... the most successful regenerated inner city development of its time. That's my personal belief in it.
But I do think with the kids though as well that's coming up. Do you know what I mean? The kids that's coming up now, they have the same attitude towards living here as what we would have had growing up. So that is a good thing, coming out of the kids.
I said, come back in 20 years and we do an interview with them because we'd still be here.
Yeah.
And you'd only be 48.
I'd be 5, John.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.